This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Guests who join us throughout the show will be joining us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. We don't have any press conference coverage for you, but press conferences on the Score are presented by Hyundai and your local Hyundai dealers. Tyler Butabaugh is on the ones and twos for me throughout the evening here. And I hope you had a fabulous weekend. And the weekend extended into Monday because of the President's Day holiday. So my family and I certainly took advantage of that. Hopefully you did as well. And for us, because we've gone several years without having, you know, our son's a seven-year-old right now, we hadn't really had a good chance to get out for a lot of playtime in the snow, but really no significant playtime in the snow, no sledding or skiing to speak of, and I don't ski. But, you know, we did take advantage of that with a couple of different days here this weekend where we made it a point to get out, broke out the tube. You know, we had a pretty enormous inner tube that we would always go. There was and I would tweet about it every once in a while. We'd go over to Soldier Field. There's that enormous hill right next to Soldier Field, and it, you know, overlooks Museum Campus, that area over there in the South Loop. And so, you know, we would trek over there. We used to live close enough to just walk over there, and then we would trek up to the top of that enormous hill, and we would just tube down over and over again. And it was a good amount of people that would usually be there, but the times we would go, there was never an overwhelming amount of people. And it's an enormous hill and a fairly big spot and big space over there too, so that probably helped. But you know, there's just all kinds of space and opportunity. And so I imagine that hill has probably been fabulous for sledding this weekend, but we don't live in the neighborhood anymore since we just moved to the burbs a few months ago here. But because we got snow and because the temperature stayed low, and because of the fact that it was this extended holiday weekend, we were out and about. And this part of the year, now the football season's over, I got a little bit more time and energy and bandwidth to enjoy and participate in things like this with the wife and the son. So we made it a point to get out multiple times and go do some sledding and some snow angeling and all kinds of stuff. And we even went up. So Friday, the groove on Friday was, and I was telling the guys about it towards the end of the week, because of how much I love shoveling and raking as a now a freshly minted suburbanite. I was doing that, doing the shovel part, you know, towards the end of the week. So like every opportunity to break out the snow shovel. I'm doing that in the driveway. I don't know if anybody else out there feels me on that, or if I'm a crazy man and I'm not going to enjoy this nearly as much after I've actually been, you know, doing the suburban thing for longer than I have here lately. But at least at this moment, I do really enjoy breaking out the shovel. And I was talking to the afternoon show when I was filling in with Spiegs over there late last week. I was telling the guys, and I sent him a photo of my driveway after I got done with some shoveling there. And of course, Friday was Valentine's Day. So had a nice day with the wife, enjoying Valentine's Day in a few different ways there. And then the weekend came about with all the snow activities. So because, you know, shout out to global warming, we haven't had as many opportunities here lately for, you know, the sledding and skiing. Now, I'm not a skier. I've been snowboarding a couple of different times. So, you know, Saturday was the tube and the sled day. And then we decided that Sunday we'd meet up with some friends and go make Sunday the day to head up to Wisconsin and do some legit skiing. Now, I did not do this. I was there. I was the driver. I was basically the ski resort chauffeur. You know, I got the wife and the son there safely, and I got them home safely at the end of the night. But aside from that, I was just like the resident photographer myself, and our friends. They've also got a son who's great buddies with our son. So myself and the husband, we just kind of hung out indoors throughout most of the day, talked some shop, caught up a little bit, and then his wife and their son hung out. My wife and our son, they just did their things on the slopes throughout the day. But it was a good time. Wisconsin's obviously a great place to do that. We went a few years ago down to Galena. If anybody's been down to Galena for some skiing down there, it's a nice kind of quaint, small little town with great shops. And, you know, I'm no ski expert. But, you know, for my buck, what we did in Galena was nice also. So you don't even got to leave the confines of the state. There's the one spot, and Tyler Butabaugh, I don't know if you've ever dealt with this. I've been in altitude a lot over the years, both here in the U.S., states all over the place, and Colorado and Wyoming and Utah, been in altitude internationally in other countries. The one time, because my wife grew up skiing and I didn't, and my knees are awful at this point, you know, between, you know, multiple, you know, cartilage procedures, and my left knee had a reconstruction on that. So my knees are brittle. So the fact that I've never skied, it's just not the type of activity in my 40s that seems worth picking up and just taking that risk with my knees. But we did make it a point, this is probably 7 or 8 years ago, we went to Breckenridge, Colorado. And that's the one spot at altitude up in Breckenridge, Colorado, was the one place that I've ever dealt with any kind of ill effects, aside from just being a little bit short of breath, but ill effects from altitude. I felt that in Breckenridge. I don't know, Tyler, if that's anything anywhere you've been that you've, like, does altitude ever impact you anywhere at all?
I've had it. I've had moments where we went up to Colorado, and okay. I never went to a ski hill, but we were just kind of driving up the mountain, and where it started, this is like in the middle of the summer, when it started off like 85 degrees down below, and then it's like snowing and 30-something degrees, you can definitely feel a difference of the thinner air, and like, yeah, it's just like, it definitely is a lot harder to breathe, and it's a weird feeling going from humidity, or like, it's always like dry heat, but like, you know, just clear air, and then all of a sudden, it's just complete like thin air, and it's like, what the hell?
And your body, it shocks your system. And I didn't realize it was even impacting me. Like, we roll into Breckenridge, and I'm not, even back then, I wasn't planning on skiing then either. My wife was going to ski. I was going to do some snowmobiling. And we met up, same thing, met up with some friends, you know, one of my football buddies and his wife. They live in Colorado. They met up with us in Breckenridge. So he and I just rolled around town, had some beer, hung out a little bit while my wife and his wife went skiing. And at some point, the first night we were there, it was just me and my wife. We went out to dinner, and I started drinking some beer. And for whatever, I was trying to figure out if I was like allergic to something in the beer or what, because my heart just started racing. The first night I was there, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I'd never felt anything like that before, just in a seated position, just sitting at dinner, and my heart is just a palpitate. And, you know, like I'm like, wait a minute, there's no reason. I'm going through a little checklist in my head. There's no reason for me to be having a panic attack about anything right now. So I haven't experienced that before, but maybe this is what this feels like. Should I be panicking about anything? No, I'm on vacation in Breckenridge. I'm not at the top of a mountain right now. There's no avalanche coming, so I shouldn't be having a panic attack right now. What on earth could this be? And, you know, we just kind of, you know, my wife talked through it a little bit. It's like, well, you are at altitude. Like, I've been at altitude before, but this was apparently the highest altitude I'd ever been at. And so it was apparently the Breckenridge altitude. So they've got these bars, like oxygen bars in Breckenridge, because this is a fairly common thing there. And so just throughout the evening, we're asking around a little bit. I go to an oxygen bar, and I'm just sitting there inhaling oxygen. And it did, you know, made a difference. Like that first night, I was apparently, you know, kind of heaving a bit while I was sleeping and in some kind of a cold sweat. My wife's all worried about me that first night. And then after that first evening, then everything was cool the next few days we were there. So that was kind of the biggest ski trip we had ever taken. So going to Breckenridge, Colorado, that's a different deal. That's a different situation than anything we're dealing with in the Midwest. It's kind of like when you're golfing around here. Yeah, we got some nice golf courses. A little bit different if you're going to Hawaii or to the Caribbean, overseas somewhere. You know, different spots on planet Earth are going to have different grooves for what the topography is going to offer to you. So it was a nice little quick kind of getaway weekend. One thing we did today, we made it a point to go roller skating. And I may pose this question because there's an observation I had when we went out roller skating today that hadn't really occurred to me until this very day. And it's something I'm actually kind of concerned about. So I'm gonna come back around to this portion of things a little bit later in the show and wonder if anyone else has observed the same thing that I have, just about what's available to us in various communities, because I have a growing concern about something that's taking place here. But that being said, there is some growing concern about all-star festivities in the sports space, especially in the professional sports space. And we're, of course, coming off of NBA All-Star Weekend, and the NHL is in the midst of their layoff, their time away before they get into their stretch run and preparing for postseason play and everything. But we're in a stretch right now where, you know, NBA All-Star Weekend used to feel like this huge event, and it still is a huge event. Various stars and celebrities are all there. The arenas themselves are still packed. Television networks and, you know, TNT is the one who gets the rights and gets the honors right now. NBC is going to pick those up in the years to come. But, I mean, in the end, the TV ratings are part of what end up shaping the storyline for whether or not people feel like, you know, there was legitimate interest in the event. Here's the issue with that. The complaints about All-Star games, and, you know, everybody spent the entire weekend complaining about NBA All-Star Weekend, whether it was the lack of star wattage in the dunk contest, the format of the game itself, and whether or not you could even understand the rules associated with it, and how competitive the action on the court legitimately is while you're watching it. But these complaints about NBA All-Star Weekend, about the Pro Bowl and now the Pro Bowl games in the National Football League, complaints about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game and Home Run Derby, even the skills competition in the game in the NHL. An All-Star event, All-Star festivities, and All-Star Weekend doesn't take place without complaints, without mockery from fans, from viewers, and even especially in the NBA's case, from the analysts from the current players and former players who are in and around these events. Because, yes, they do have, they've got less gravity to them now than what it felt like decades ago when the majority of the adults on planet Earth were kids watching these events. It felt like the athletes participating in them felt like there was more on the line. We're more deeply invested in these all-star events. And the main one that still looks like any sort of real representation of regular season action is the baseball all-star game. But it's because there's such a minimal risk of physical injury in the baseball all-star game that you can't. You're just going to get your plate appearances like batting practice, and you'll occasionally get a guy diving, you know, for a fly ball and things like that, where the baseball all-star game can at least appear to be representative of your regular season action. You really don't have a good chance for that happening in football. And so that's why, after folks began complaining, and with the Pro Bowl, there were still, for a long time, and frankly, there's still millions of people who tune in even for the Pro Bowl games between television and like linear television and then streaming services, the digital platforms. You still get millions of eyeballs even on the Pro Bowl games. But the Pro Bowl itself, when it was still, you know, a fully fleshed out standard rules football game that was basically two-hand touch for the most part because players didn't want to risk injury in a game that was after the season was over or within that bye week before the Super Bowl. The action wasn't that riveting unless you were a punter, you know, trying to run up on Sean Taylor. You didn't see a whole lot of big hits that were going on. You didn't see guys really laying it on the line, but it was understandable. So as folks began to complain about the action on the field, even though the eyeballs for a long time in the midst of those complaints were still immense, like the Pro Bowl was outrating regular season NBA games. The Pro Bowl was outrating NHL games. I mean, just this football exhibition that meant nothing, that was just kind of the ancillary product the week before the Super Bowl for years in the midst of complaints. We're still getting millions upon millions of eyeballs because of our insatiable appetite for football. But folks complained about it more and more and sort of mocked and ridiculed it more and more. And so that event adjusted. That event changed and people altered how the National Football League operated. And so now we have the Pro Bowl games, which seems that much more silly than the players actually going out there and pretending to play real football. NBA All-Star Weekend in a similar circumstance here because the action on the court wasn't highly competitive, wasn't combative as it used to be a long time ago where you still had even the best of the best players in the sport who would face each other all throughout the regular season and then you'd get this midseason opportunity for some camaraderie, some glad-handing. But then, you know, you'd still have folks from the Western Conference, getting a chance. And in some of there was a stretch there where it was more rare to have a bunch of games where the Eastern Conference teams would face the Western Conference teams. And so you'd get these matchups and you'd get these pairing of teammates that we didn't normally get to see. So Craig Hodges in the three-point contest was a huge deal. MJ in the dunk contest was a huge deal with everybody watching him and Neek going at it. And then, of course, the game itself, where you've had magical moments in NBA All-Star games at various points. But it's been a long time since that was the case. And it became this thing, just like the baseball All-Star game started to do. How do we tweak some rules to make it feel like there's more on the line? Or at least to feel like this is unique, something that folks might tune in for just because the product will look or feel different in a positive way versus what the regular season product is here. So you got the draft that's taking place, you know, LeBron and Steph, LeBron and Giannis, this person, that person, various teams like this season drafting players, you know, no more East versus West. You got your Elam endings. And all the while, folks are still continuing to mock it, to ridicule it, to say how different it is and how the players don't care about it. There's still eyeballs on it. But then you get to the point now where even those who are paid to break the games down. You got to respect the honesty of Charles Barkley and Draymond Green and the like. But they're mocking the product out there as well, saying it's awful, saying it stinks, saying it sucks. So then that just continues to enhance the way that the viewers themselves don't respect the product that they're looking at. I don't know what the answer is, because in the end, I'm not expecting the players to go out there and risk injury in an exhibition. So you're not going to have the same type of competitive fire, the same type of heat, the same type of combative nature in an all-star event as what you get in the regular season. So I don't know what the answer is. What I do know is that none of these games are exceptional. Did they used to feel exceptional? I think there was a space where they didn't, and that's just consistently eroded over the years since then, in recent decades. And part of it is our fault as the viewers. Part of it is our fault as the public. And whatever those expectations used to be, that it felt like players were more invested in and met the expectation for what that moment is supposed to be like in an All-Star game, it's been a long time since that even made sense. Because now we just judge them by championships, and you look at like LeBron missing an All-Star game for the first time in 20 years, his ankle's kind of jacked up. So, all right, I could go out there and tweak my ankle worse, or I could see if I could be as healthy as possible for this stretch run with Luka and try to pursue the last best opportunity that he's going to have at, you know, trying to get another NBA championship ring. So hard to argue with that, because that's the only thing he's judged by at this point anyway, if he's got a chance to win another title. But I'm wondering, which one of these All-Star events do you think does it best? Which one of these All-Star weekends, the weekend of festivities, whether it is the NHL with their skills challenge, and then, you know, in normal years, you know, they would play the standard All-Star game as well. Not what's going on right now, of course, but there is some version of this where hockey itself, you can at least look at it and say that in a standard season where you don't have the Four Nations face-off going on, that hockey, between the skills challenge and the all the skills you see in an NHL All-Star game, maybe that looks closest to the representative product. Or maybe hockey fans feel best about what their product is during an All-Star weekend. Which one of these leagues at least gets it right? Is there something the NBA can take from how one of the other leagues operates? The Pro Bowl, just giving up on the actual game and going to the sort of competitive, you know, festival-style activities, carnival-type games against each other. Does the NFL have it right? Do you enjoy that? The Pro Bowl games or MLB All-Star Weekend between the Home Run Derby and the baseball All-Star game, and every team having a representative there for baseball All-Star Weekend, every team having an All-Star in the game. I definitely think there's something to be said for baseball. And, of course, baseball does have the advantage of it's just, it feels to me easiest for that particular sport to look like what we expect it to look like, because there's not physical confrontation. There's not collisions that are taking place, unless you're Pete Rose 50 years ago. But there's not supposed to be collisions taking place on the baseball diamond in most circumstances, let alone during the baseball All-Star game. So how do you end up seeing this? Is there something the NBA can learn from one of these other All-Star weekends? Or is the NBA getting it right? Which one of the All-Star games is best? Hit me up at 312-644-6767. I at least enjoy seeing Matheus Bouzelas out there, not only repping the Chicago Bulls, but repping himself. And there's been a lot of players, folks who cover the Bulls here locally, national personalities, NBA greats, who've had a lot to say about the Bulls' young stud and what his ceiling could be in the NBA. So him being in the, you know, in the Future Stars game, in the mix for that dunk contest, and then he gets added into the mix with the roster as a whole, we're going to start seeing him in the starting lineup for the Bulls as well. So, this may not be, it certainly feels like it shouldn't be, the last All-Star weekend that Matheus Bouzelas gets to take part in. But when you're comparing the different leagues here, which one gets it right, or at least closest to right? Which one gets it least wrong if we agree that they all, in some way, shape, or form, get it wrong? 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony here, and I'd love to hear from you here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Slapped away by Kobe with a steal. On the runway, Bezelis with the two-handed slam dunk. A Bezelis boogie to the rack.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I didn't get any better than that. Matas Bezelis, a Bezelis boogie. Gotta love that with Chuck and Bill on the call here on The Score. And the way that Matas Bouzelis, especially now that he's getting more tick, and as he's getting more run, we already knew he was thought of as an incredibly confident young ball player. And in his rookie season in the NBA, when the opportunity's been there, he hasn't shied away from challenges. And you know, when you think of comparing the experience he's had, being internationally born from right here in the Chicago area at this point, and then playing in the G League, so he's had a lot of hoop in him before actually getting to his rookie year in the NBA in a different manner than a guy like Patrick Williams, who gets that 1 year of college basketball where he doesn't even start. But he's got these immense physical tools, and so he's drafted as a project. And you know, there's still a whole lot of consternation, I suppose, just waiting for his full potential to hopefully be realized at a certain point. And the hope would be that Matas Buzelis is still far away from his ceiling. But that being said, you at least got the opportunity for the broader basketball community, and certainly basketball fans from around the country throughout All-Star Weekend, to see Matas Buzelis playing against some of the other top young players in the country. Now, the dunk contest itself didn't go as he had hoped. You know, he just had trouble putting him down. And that's where, by comparison, Mac McClung, as much as the entertainment value of Mac McClung, because I just think short dunkers have a tendency to look better than tall guys dunking too. I mean, you know, like Vince Carter's everybody like 6'6", 6'7", but he's got real bunnies to be able to get up. So the height that Vince Carter used to get off the ground, then that's one thing. But you know, normally for the taller dunkers, they weren't going to get up into the air quite as much. So I've just always been under the impression that, you know, smaller guys and just the height that they would ascend to in dunking the basketball, it just tends to look better, in my opinion. But Mac McClung, well, one thing I will point out, you call me a hater if you want to, very creative dunks, still at this point, dunks that we haven't frequently seen before. So credit to him for coming up with that. I do think, you know, it's worth pointing out, all these dunks he's doing where he's jumping over people's heads, he is boosting up off of their shoulders while he's doing it. Now, you got to be able to ascend to certain heights to even be in position to do that. But I am just pointing out, like, by comparison to guys jumping off stride, guys jumping off 2 feet, the guys who are just through their own propulsion, you know, trying to propel themselves up into the air without necessarily pushing up off people's shoulders, it is a slightly different thing. But, you know, it's just my observation while I'm watching that play out during the dunk contest. But he's an incredibly creative dunker, is Mac McClung, and to his credit, he doesn't spend a whole bunch of time missing dunks out there. So that wow factor you get from getting it right the first time, then he really takes full advantage of that. This is what he does. He is a dunker, and he's apparently made more money off dunk contests than he has as an actual, you know, on actual basketball teams playing in basketball leagues. So credit to him for making that happen. But for Matas, we'll see. Maybe it won't be his last dunk contest. He did sound legitimately excited. He was talking on the midday show about being able to participate in it. He seemed to be looking forward to it. And who knows, as he continues to physically develop, then maybe there'll be more dunk contests for him. Who knows? Maybe we get to the point where he's in skills challenges. And fingers crossed, maybe he makes a legit all-star game himself at a certain point. That'd be something for Bulls fans to look forward to. There hadn't been a whole lot to look forward to from the Bulls here in recent years. You had that one first half and that one season, and then Lonzo's injury, everything's kind of gone south since then, unfortunately. But to the point of Matas Buzelis and what he's meant for the Bulls here in short fashion, there's been a lot of acclaim for his skills. And I want to let you hear from some of the folks who've been talking about Matas Buzelis here in a moment. But I did tell you I was going to take some calls here, 312-644-6767. Let's start with Myron, who's down in Miami, wanting to talk about NBA All-Star Weekend. What's happening, Myron?
Good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good evening to you.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, I'm from Hammond, but I'm teaching school down here in Miami, been a school friend forever. Oh, and my thing with the book. Yeah, my thing with the Bulls is that, you know, when the Bulls last won, I was in my 40s, and now I'm in my 70s. And I want another championship before I leave this world. And I'm not happy with the movement. My brothers seem to disagree. We all been Bulls fans since they became a team in 67, you know. And I don't, and just because you, they feel we don't, that Donovan doesn't play us guys to get them, you know, get them experience, all that. But my thing is that, now, just because you're young doesn't mean you're good. I look at the young players. I just looked at Detroit, got up close and looked at them. And I looked at young players, OKC, Houston. They're better, in my opinion, than the Terrys and all these kind of guys on our team. And I want them to get more talent, youth. I don't know if you want to accept that losing and trust your scouts to get the kind of players those guys get, but I'm willing to try that. And with that being said, if we, with all that trouble we did to move Levine to keep that pick for San Antonio, if we keep losing and wound up in the lottery and we get that number, say we got the number two pick, do we get that number two and keep the number 10? So with those two things, I'd appreciate it. Let me know what you think on that.
You know what? I think it depends. I appreciate you making the call, Myron, because where the Bulls are at right now, they need to acquire additional talent. They got to accumulate youth and talent and see if they can be in a position to develop any of these guys. Because the up to this point, what we've seen from the Bulls is, and I've complained about this with the Bears a good bit also, the Bears have struggled to develop their talent. The Cubs, frankly, with their World Series roster that they put together a decade ago that they won a ring with, and then all those young, talented players on the Cubs, they peaked very early, and that's why none of them finished their career with the Cubs. All those other young guys end up moving on to go other places and do other things. Everybody peaked early, hit a ceiling shortly after they won the World Series, and then things fell apart. So Cubs weren't developing guys well then. It does seem like the apparatus has improved here, especially the pitch lab and the infrastructure that's there. So, you know, you get more potential for homegrown pitching talent with the Cubs. But that complaint of development, the Bulls have fallen victim to that, just like the Bears have, where they haven't developed consistently their draft picks, and the Cubs haven't consistently developed their homegrown guys from their farm system. Don't even get me started on the White Sox and where they've been struggling along those lines as well. So the Bulls, right now having Buzelis in here, he is this young and talented commodity that a lot of folks around the NBA are excited about. But you got to keep pulling that lever and just seeing, you know, if you can hit jackpot on a couple of these different guys. And, you know, we'll see if they do, because right now Buzelis is the main product here that folks around the sport are excited about. But if you can trade Vooch and get some more talent in, there's no reason to think that right now they wouldn't have still the potential to trade Patrick Williams to maybe do something with Coby White. You know, have we seen the best of Coby White? Thought maybe two seasons ago that was already the case, and then he did hit another level. So we'll see whether or not the Bulls can find ways to acquire more youth. But then in the end, acquiring that talent is one thing. We haven't seen the Bulls prove that they can develop their young, talented players into future stars like other organizations around the NBA have been able to do. Specific to Matas Buzelis, though, been multiple people on the station here and folks around the basketball world who've referenced their excitement for his potential, what they believe he's capable of on the court. Let's start with Kendall Gill himself, just to get the context of what KG, who you watch him on television, you hear him here on the station frequently enough. This is last week with Kendall Gill on the Midday Show describing what he believes the potential for Matas Buzelis is.
I just think his upside is tremendous, and I know a lot of people talking about, well, let's lose and get the draft pick so we can get in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes. Guess what, guys? You already got Cooper Flag.
Oh, easy. Oh, no. Come on, man.
Kendall.
Listen to me. I saw Matas take Cooper Flag apart when they played one-on-one.
Oh, okay.
Okay? I saw it with my own eyes.
All right. Wait.
Believe me when I tell you now.
Now, okay. I got to get you to expound on this a little bit. Okay. When you see Cooper Flagg's game and you see Matas's game, tell me where Matas, in your eyes, has an advantage.
He's bigger. He can handle the basketball better. In my opinion, he's more athletic. And they both have the same mentality. But I like Modest's upside simply because I like his athleticism more and I like his mentality more than Cooper Flagg. He can also shoot the basketball better than Cooper Flagg.
Now, Kendall obviously knows his stuff, played the game at a high level, has analyzed the game at a high level for years up to this point. Let me tell you this. He's not the only one who's been singing the praises of Matis Muzelis lately. And if you look at or listen to what Kendall has said, and he's talked about it on television as well, you feel like, well, he's a Bulls analyst. He's kind of wearing the, you know, the Bulls color, the red colored glasses here, just trying to sing the praises of one of the young guys, you know, kind of one of these young baby Bulls, quote unquote. There's another player, another all-time great. Carmelo Anthony certainly does not get paid a dime by the Bulls. And Melo was on the 7 p.m. in Brooklyn podcast recently talking about his opinion. And he was talking to Lil Rel Howley, who's a huge Bulls fan in his own right. He's a Chicagoan. And listen to what Melo had to say about Matis.
I f*** with Matis.
Yeah.
I saw Matis, you know, in high school and on the AAU EYBL circuit. And, like, you really get a chance to see the growth and, like, what these players, you know, what these, the kids, what they actually become. So, like, to see Matis from ninth grade all the way, you know what I mean, just high school, his high school career, now going to the G League and then being in Chicago, like, I think he did something. He did it a different way of getting to the league. All right? He could have went to any school he wanted to, but
he would have been a top pick, too, I think, if
he would have been a top pick. But I think Chicago have something with Matis.
And just after that audio ends, Lorel is yelling for Billy Donovan to actually give Matis some tick, give him some run. Because that has, of course, been one complaint here that Billy Donovan hasn't been giving the amount of playing time to Matis Muzelis that a lot of folks believe he should be. I'm an advocate for young players having to earn their way onto the court with more frequency, especially you're talking first half of the season. You know, are we trying to play and win games? Or are we in developmental mode here? You don't want to just start the season in developmental mode. But now we're at a point here, 55 games in, 27 games to go. You want to start minus every game. You want to play him 30 minutes a night, regardless of his performance. Bulls are in full developmental mode right now. So I get that, and I dig that at this point. But opening up the season, I didn't have a big issue with Billy Donovan not immediately just sort of force-feeding Matis into the lineup. But Melo referenced there. He could have been the number one overall pick, and the Bulls were able to get him in their position in the draft. But a lot of folks very excited about the talent, the skill he brings to the table. He referenced to Dan and Marshall on the Midday Show the other day. Wants to put on about 10 pounds of muscle over the offseason. We're going to continue to get the opportunity to see his all-around skills continue to kind of showcase themselves as a playmaker and a ball handler with where the roster is at right now. His usage rate will continue to go up. So it might be a lot of fun to be had there. And now that I'm through the football season, maybe making my way over to the UC a few times. If nothing else, let's hope they don't lose by 40 points anymore. But you know, maybe get a chance to just look at what one of these potential future studs looks like up close and in person, because I haven't gotten to check him out for myself yet. So maybe I'll take the wife and the 7-year-old over there to the UC and see what the Bulls are talking about, specifically see what the Matis hype that is beginning to build a little bit, you know, what my own eyes are telling me about that. There was something that met my eyes that I think met your eyes out there that was a bit askew in Champaign a few nights ago as well. As one of the all-time greats for the Illini was being honored and things didn't go exactly according to plan. I'll describe what I mean next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There was a moment over the weekend for the Illinois Fighting Illini. They were looking to honor, and they did honor, one of the program's great players. And in doing so, they were hoisting the jersey, a banner of the jersey of Terrence Shannon Jr., who is an All-American player, not a consensus All-American, but an All-American player for the Fighting Illini on Brad Underwood's squad. Fantastic couple of seasons that he had for the Illini, and especially last year in the midst of a season that had, you know, some tumultuous times to it with the sexual assault allegations and the charges that were filed against him, and ended up being found not guilty of those charges. And he was, you know, briefly off the court, sued to get his way back onto the court, and then in the midst of that continued to play and compete at a really high level and put together one of the great seasons in program history. And with that as the case, the Illini decided to raise his jersey up into the rafters in a way to honor the season that Terrence Shannon Jr. and frankly the career that Terrence Shannon Jr. put together. I'm sure many of you have seen at this point that the unveiling, the unfurling of Terrence Shannon Jr.'s jersey didn't exactly go according to plan. In the midst of a game against Michigan State, they raised the banner itself, but it still rolled up there. You can find the clip all over social media. And so they've got the ribbon, the string, hanging down where TSJ has the opportunity to pull the string that would unfurl the jersey that's there. And the unfurling was the opposite of the direction it should have been. His jersey's upside down as the banner ends up undraping itself. And so you've got this upside down image of Terrence Shannon Jr. looking up, hoping to enjoy that moment. And he did, you know, took it in stride. He and his mom had a smile on his face, but the jersey was upside down. The improper side was connected, and he pulls down the string and it rolls down, and you know, it's not right side up, as it's usually the intent with jerseys like this. But the athletic director for the Fighting Illini, Josh Whitman, did have some comments on this afterwards. A game that the results of the game ended up being disappointing because Illinois ended up losing a lead to Michigan State. And from a Spartan perspective, Tom Izzo ends up passing Bob Knight for the all-time Big Ten Conference wins lead with 354. But it was another one of these games where Illinois has definitely had some big wins this season. They've got seven quad one wins on the season. So they're going to make the NCAA tournament. But the result of the game was a disappointment as far as the action on the court. But Josh Whitman, before Brad Underwood came out, ended up taking the opportunity to address the media specific to how things went down in this ceremony to honor Terrence Shannon Jr.
Obviously, we had a regrettable situation at halftime with the jersey around Terrence's celebration. I just wanted to address that briefly before Brad came up and talked about the game. Obviously, really regrettable moment. It's a shame that it happened that way. Of course, I didn't hang the jersey, but I'm ultimately responsible for everything that happens in this building. And ultimately, that means that was on me tonight. We need to make sure that we understand that in life, mistakes happen, but there are also certain moments where mistakes can't happen. And tonight, we stole that moment from Terrence, and that's on us, and something that we have apologized to him for, apologized to his mom. I want to make sure that we apologize to our fans and everybody who was excited to be a part of this experience tonight. Tonight was months in the planning, and there was an incredible amount of great work done by our staff, by people in Terrence's camp. Think about from the t-shirts to the bobbleheads to the appearance to the video work that was done in preparation for this evening. The energy in the building was incredible, all crescendoing towards that one moment. And for that to happen in that instance was just unexcusable. And so on behalf of the athletic program, again, before we turn our attention to the substance of the game, just want to make sure I had a chance to come up and apologize to our fans. We did get the jersey right-sided and had the chance to get Terrence with Coach on the court and take some pictures after the game was over. But nothing we can do to recreate that moment. We recognize that. We own it. There's certain mistakes can't happen, and we'll be sure. And had some spirited conversations during the second half to make sure that the right people knew the level of disappointment and frustration that we felt in that moment.
I felt that Josh Whitman addressed that really well. It's, you know, you frankly could just take the approach of saying, well, you know, how big of a deal is it? It's a jersey honoring ceremony, and you know, it's not like he's not being honored here, and let's just move on. But he did want to pay that respect, especially because of the context that I described beforehand with how things went during the season for Terrence Shannon Jr. off the court, and you know, him suing the institution to get back onto the court, and then still being able to thrive as an athlete now is in the midst of his rookie season in the NBA. And within that context, I think that probably ends up coloring and painting the picture for why Josh Whitman certainly would have preferred this this event to go off without a hitch, and it didn't. And like he talked about, you know, mistakes do happen in life. And, of course, there was plenty of outcry on social media talking about who should get fired and somebody's about to get fired and this and that. That tends to be the social media reaction. And I don't know. Maybe Josh Whitman is going to fire somebody. But I didn't get that from his tone there. And I understand it. There's some direct conversations that apparently were had afterwards. And, you know, it's enough folks out here losing their jobs over silliness, frankly. So, you know, I'm certainly in support of the idea to not be too quick to fire someone, to point out that mistake, make sure you're in a position where it never happens again. But mistakes do happen, like Josh Whitman pointed out there. So for Terrence Shannon Jr., I hope that he and his mom got the pictures with it right side up, and that they'll both be able to enjoy events with the Illini moving forward here. But it was all over social media, got aggregated for a reason. If that jersey wasn't upside down, then I don't know that there'd be nearly as many people talking about Terrence Shannon Jr. being honored by the Illini. So this is not the reason that the Illini want to get aggregated, but they did for the events that took place there. But hopefully the way that Josh Whitman handled that and how the basketball season will continue to go, we'll have more positive things in the headlines for the Illini. For now, let's transition to football. Take a quick timeout, come back, get Clay Harbor on the line here to talk about the latest with the Bears, his expectations for what's coming up with the NFL Combine and the positions that he hopes to see the Bears and Ben Johnson targeting to reshape this roster. We'll get into some football here next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.